This is Edwin O'Shea. We're going to talk about section 1.6 of Talamon and Cohen's calculus. So we're starting off with infinite limits, and our first example is the limit of 1 over x minus 1 as x approaches 1. Notice that it's of the form 1 over 0, and we have this nice table. It's the first table you see, and look at what happens as x moves closer and closer to 1 from the right hand side. X minus 1 moves closer and closer to 0 from the right hand side, and so consequently 1 over x minus 1 moves closer and closer to positive infinity. Now I know that when, you know, infinity isn't a number, but that's going to be our shorthand for saying that the quantity just gets larger and larger, and we'll do that throughout the text. Jumping to theorem 1.29, you'll see here that there's two different statements, and both are sensitive to the sign on the numerator as you're approaching some limit. No huge surprises there. Theorem 130 is a limit on infinity, namely limits involving the input x getting larger and larger, be them going to positive infinity or negative infinity. We have theorem 121 as well, looks at different identities. Now, there's some very good advice in the paragraph that immediately follows theorem 1.31. It says rather than memorizing these limits, it is better to remember the behavior on the right side of these graphs of these basic functions. And all of these examples correspond to parts A through E. For example, you could see the graph of sine of x corresponds to part D, and you could see that it has no limit as x heads off to infinity, because the graph keeps on bobbing up and down. In contrast, you could see natural log of x is starting to curve down a little bit in a concave fashion, but natural log of x does keep on growing. E to the negative x, as x goes to infinity, you could see e to the negative x gets closer and closer. The height of e to the negative x gets closer and closer to the x-axis, and so on and so forth. Theorem 1.32, this is something we spoke about in class already, about horizontal asymptotes, that it depends on the comparison. If you have two polynomials and you have a rational function of p of x over q of x, it's really going to depend on the degrees of the polynomials. Theorem 133 classifies different forms of indeterminate forms. Notice that there's a definition of indeterminate at the opening of that little section. It says if a limit is indeterminate, we cannot initially say whether or not it exists or not. I'd like to rename these types of limits as limits where you just need to do more work. So if you have something of the form 0 over 0, infinity over infinity, you shouldn't conclude anything simplistic like, oh, that's clearly 0 or clearly 1 or whatever else. It should really, it just means that you have to do some more work to unraveling the value of the limit. Assigned, of course, as part of the homework is exercises 15 and 21, and that will really clarify the statement here of theorem 1.33. And similarly for 1.34 as well. Similar non-indeterminate form. Oh, sorry. Similar in the sense that you have, you know, some unusual quantities. But theorem 1.34 is cases where you can conclude something. So for example, looking at A, if you have something of the form 1 over infinity, you can conclude that's equal to 0. Alright. Last little subsection before the example is special trigonometric limits. And this is well worth your while paying careful attention to. You've got two different limits. Let's just look at part A, and part B will be left as an exercise. In fact, it'll be exercise 94 that's assigned for tonight. So let's look at part A. It's claiming that the sine of theta over theta, the limit of that is theta goes to 0, is equal to 1. And it makes an argument by, you've guessed it, the squeeze rule, the squeeze theorem, or the sandwich theorem, as we've been referring to it as well in class. Look at the figure here in this proof. We've the figure on the left-hand side, it makes an argument for how the sine of theta is approximately theta. Now, look at this figure carefully. If you have an angle theta, then the sine of theta is going to be the height made on the unit circle, the height made by that angle theta. That's the first kind of vertical blue line that you see. That's sine theta. And now also notice that you have this black circular line That's part of the circle of radius 1, right? And of course, the length of that red line marked by the arrow, that's equal to theta. Because remember, the angle theta is marked by, remember that the angle theta is marked by, sorry, the angle theta is equal to the sweep of the circumference of the unit circle made by that angle theta. So that's why that red marked sweep is equal to theta itself. I wish the theta there on that red mark was kind of down lower, or that it was in the color red. That would make that really clear. And then the claim is that if you extend the line that goes from the origin to the blue dot, if you extend that a little further, then the second vertical line you get will be tan theta. The reason for that is that if you have the angle theta, and if your adjacent angle is 1, you know that the tan of theta is opposite over adjacent. So that would make that larger vertical blue side equal to tan theta. Now that's very nice, because it tells you that the sine of theta must be at least smaller than theta, but that it's always, sine of theta must be smaller than theta, while at the same time, you'll see with this figure, sorry there, I had to collect my thoughts for a second. You'll see with this figure that theta is sandwiched between sine of theta and tan of theta. And that corresponds to, in the argument for the proof, see where it says more formally from the earlier figure on the left? That's where this claim sine theta is less than or equal to theta, less than or equal to tan theta. And now it divides all sides by this positive theta. Alright, all sides all sides by the sine of theta. And then this is the point at which they use the squeeze rule, because theta over sine theta is going to be sandwiched between 1 and 1 over cosine theta. And we can compute both of those limits as theta approaches 0. Notice below the proof you have the graph of the sine of x over x. And you could see, you know, as much as these things can be believed, you could see the graph kisses upon the y-axis at the y value equal to 1. Alright, moving on to the examples. Example 1 will be very helpful as a collection of examples for studying the exercises assigned. As well, example 2, no big surprises. Example 3 and example 4 also. Note example 4 is talking about describing the behavior of a polynomial according to its leading term. And then that's it, on to the exercises. One last thing for the exercises, I also assigned question 24 from 1.5. It's very important that you travel back in time and look at question 24 of 1.5. And from the exercises, let me point out maybe that example 3, I repeat, example 3, will be especially helpful for looking at questions like 57 through to 80. 57 through to 80. I repeat, 57 through to 80. Example 3 will be especially helpful. I'd repeat that again, but it would just be annoying. Okay, I'll stop at that.